Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
So, Dr. Barakat, we know a lot of different health problems seem to get worse in generations, over the generations. It seems like there's more allergies around and stuff like that. Have you seen in your dental practice over the year, like, are younger people seemingly more prone to having problems with their teeth than maybe even their parents were?
Actually, it's quite the opposite. Dentistry has done a great job of, I think, educating people, the public in general, on the different preventive measures to try to prevent tooth decay. So, and most kids don't have gum problems, so that's not usually an issue, but it used to be when we were younger, like in the 70s and 80s, kids had rampant tooth decay. And of course, that still happens in certain areas. But because of the fluoridation of the water, because of all the commercials and education you see on TV, I see a lot less tooth decay in children than I even saw 15, 20 years ago.
Now, how, despite what we see on TV sometimes with commercials and stuff like that, is there usually very much difference between different types of toothpaste that you can get at the store?
No, those are usually marketing and gimmicks and so on. If you were to go to that large dental aisle and look at the dozens and dozens of different types of toothpaste in there, on average, they have mostly the same ingredients. They usually have some kind of foaming ingredient, unless there's certain natural ones that don't, to get that foaming action. They have the mint, they have the 1,000 parts per million fluoride, which most toothpastes have. So, when my patients ask me, I tell them to usually find out what they find tastes the best and go with that, because they're by far the same.
Yeah, so that is what it comes down to then, is just whatever you're happiest with, as long as you're using it, is going to work.
Exactly, that's the key, as long as you're using it.
Okay, now you had mentioned a couple of times that there are dental care problems still, obviously, in areas of lower income. Are there programs in place, I believe you said you're calling from Ottawa, are there programs in place in Ontario to help people who are in lower income areas to help them get dental care?
Yeah, I in Ontario there definitely are, and I think most provinces and states have that. But in Ontario specifically, for example, for people who are lower income or who are in welfare, they can get basic needs for themselves and especially for their children. You can't get lavish cosmetic treatment or orthodontic treatment, but if you need basic fillings and cleanings and so on, definitely the province provides for that.
Okay, so now, at what age should parents start bringing a child in to see a dentist? Like, what would be about the youngest age you would want to have sitting in your office?
That's a great question, because there's a common misconception. It used to be that people brought their child in by age 3, but a couple of decades ago, all the dental associations across North America changed their guidelines and recommended that they come in usually within 6 months from their first two teeth coming in, which usually ends up being about 12 to 14 months in age, so much earlier.
And when they're that young even, can you already, they got their first couple of teeth that have come in a few months ago, are you able to sort of look at what you're seeing already in their mouth and say, okay, we definitely want to make sure that we focus on working the gums here? Or is it still just at that point almost like exploratory looks?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, when they're coming in, they're very young. They're not going to want to sit for very long periods of time. You're not doing a full cleaning or even a polishing. You're just trying to get them used to being in a dental office, looking for any major abnormalities, making sure mom or dad has a grasp on how to best care for the teeth and certain proper habits to develop and so on. What was happening when they were recommending the 3 years old, by then the child had a full set of teeth. They might have 4 or 5 or 6 cavities, and their first dental experience becomes a very negative dental experience, which then leads to adults who are afraid of going to the dentist and problems later in life. So they've really changed that, so that those first few visits are usually very pleasant. I mean, in our office, the child gets to watch cartoons. They get a little toy at the end. So their first experience is a very pleasant one, and that's the point. Plus, to make sure, of course, mom and dad know how to take care of the teeth.
Now, again, you were saying earlier you had a book out about perfecting smiles. A lot of people today look at teeth whitening. Is that something that's good for teeth, or is it something you would kind of say, don't know?
No, it's not bad for teeth. They've done many, many, many studies, and whitening under the proper supervision or with the proper instructions is not harmful for teeth. What it does is the peroxides, all of them are peroxide-based, so the peroxides penetrate the enamel surface and basically degrade the pigments in teeth, allowing the teeth to whiten. The problems we have is that if someone abuses that, goes to a dentist or goes to multiple dentists or even spas, I know the spas do the whitening now, or even goes and gets the strips from the store and abuses them and just uses them over and over and over again, it can really dehydrate the teeth. And when that happens, they become more brittle and more at risk of decay and fracture.
But this is, so teeth whitening is not something, it's something you should talk about with your dentist, but there'd be no problem after you talk to them and go over the risks and everything with them of just using the tooth whitening strips yourself and just, again, checking with your dentist every 6 months or whatever and making sure there's no problems.
Exactly, exactly. There's no problem otherwise.
Okay. So that is sort of self-therapy, I guess you could say, that you can do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one thing that we keep seeing, and I know a lot of the guests on Health First talk about this, our society is addicted to sugar. How tough is this on the dental industry, having to fight this addiction?
I mean, that's a tough one. It's really hard. People know. I mean, whether it's the health industry in terms of obesity or the dental industry, most people know what they should and should not be eating. With the amount of education today, I mean, when you see Dr. Oz on TV or and really any other TV show, it's just up to each individual to try to control what they eat. I mean, personally, when I talk to my patients, I'm not the one that's going to tell them stop eating sugar, because I mean that's unrealistic. What I try to educate my patients with is, okay, let's try to decrease the sugar, move to healthier foods. And when you do eat sugar, just make sure to brush your teeth shortly after so that that sugar isn't sitting on your teeth and causing decay. That's sort of the best we can do.
And so would part of that as well be, okay, when you get up in the morning, what kind of cereal do you eat? Okay, let's take a look at how much sugar is in that cereal. Here's some other cereals. Maybe give them a try because there's less sugar in them.
Yeah, we do have some nutritional consultations with our hygienists as well, so that they can look at not only oral hygiene practices, but at their diet, and definitely advise them on better choices, for sure.
So is education a large part of your practice?
It is, yeah. Education is huge. I mean, without education, we only get to see our patients, let's say, on average, every 6 months. So we have to teach patients for those six month intervals to be able to maintain things and take care of themselves. So without education, I mean, things could fall apart very quickly. So that's a huge part of the practice, and really should be.
Now, we talked earlier, you had said there's not a lot of difference between the toothpaste in the shelf, despite the fact that there might be 1,000 different varieties. Toothpaste with fluoride, is that preferred by dentists?
Yeah, definitely. Most of the toothpastes out there have 1,000 parts per million fluoride, which has been found over and over and over in studies to be the proper amount to prevent tooth decay in people without being too high a concentration. The only exception to that rule is for children. Children typically have a hard time swallowing or have a hard time spitting out the toothpaste, and end up swallowing lots of it. So we advise parents that until you see your child spitting the toothpaste out predictably and not swallowing it, to use a non-fluoridated toothpaste for sure.
Okay, now, what about people, and I think there are still some around, who use baking soda or possibly even salt instead of toothpaste. Should they be looking at possibly a fluoride additive of some sort?
They definitely should be, because without the fluoride, there's really only the natural protection for the teeth for your saliva. If you're someone who, like we talked about genetics before, who isn't prone to decay, and you've been using baking soda, or even some people are using charcoal now for many years and have never got a cavity, chances are you fortunately are resistant to tooth decay and can get away with it. But others, if you find you're going to the dentist and you're getting cavities every time you show up, you definitely need to consider the fluoride as an additive.
Okay, so now we talked earlier when we were talking especially about the athletic drinks, if you will, like the Red Bulls, the Gatorades, and stuff like that. And you had mentioned that people could use gum to promote natural saliva. Is that something people should maybe just do on a regular basis anyways? Is if you've got any concerns at all about your teeth, just carry some gum with you all the time?
Yeah, I actually sometimes unofficially prescribe that for my patients if they know that their diet's not the best. So first of all, I have to very much specify to them this needs to be a sugarless gum or else it defeats the purpose. I've had people come back with, you know, those bubble gums with lots of sugar in them, and I'm like, okay, that's really not helping you at all. But the sugarless gums, some of them have xylitol, some of them don't. But ultimately, the point is you're cleaning the teeth with the gum without even knowing it. Plus, you're stimulating that natural saliva flow, which helps combat gum disease and bacteria. So it's really a great idea, unless you have some kind of contraindication to it where you have jaw problems, where chewing lots of gum will hurt your jaw or something like that, of course.
Okay, now let's bring this back full circle. We've just got a couple minutes to go. Talking about perfecting smiles, what are the positive effects of a good smile? Like, is it good for you and the person who you're smiling at?
Well, yeah, having a good smile is, like we talked about before, is not only healthier, but unfortunately, again, they've done studies on this as well, that people who have a crooked teeth or a bad smile are less likely to have good relationships in their office. People, whether this is fair or not, will judge them. So even if you go, for example, for a work interview and someone's interviewing two people and one person has this awesome smile and one person doesn't, whether it's fair or not, they're going to be drawn towards that healthier smile and that straighter smile.
Now, included in that smile, though, if the person has some orthodontic device on their teeth, does that have any effect? Has that been shown to have any effect? Or does the employer possibly look at it and say, yeah, they are actually taking care of their teeth?
That's actually a really good question. I've never been asked that before. I do not know the answer to that one. You have me stumped on that one. I would assume if I was the employer that, okay, cool, they're taking care of their teeth. I've actually had patients, though, who don't really want the braces until they get the job because, for example, they might be 25 years old and they're worried the braces will make them look 16 years old and they might not get the job. So there's that factor, too.
Okay. Dr. Barakat, do you have a website or anything where people can go to get information on taking better care of your teeth and perfecting your smile?
Definitely. If you go to drammybarakat.com online, you'll find lots of information and you'll actually be able to get a copy of the book as well.
Okay. Could you just spell out the website, please?
That's Dr. A-M-I. Doctor is in D-R. A-M-I. BARAKAT.com.
Dr. Barakat, thank you very much for calling in today.
Thanks for having me.
And that'll wrap it up for today's Health First.